This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional. We will have a dedicated prayer session,
parenting tips from the parenting place, and the incredible journey returns. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with Hope. You know, we're excited to be here and waking up with you.
We sure are, friends, and on this bright Tuesday morning, we pray to bless you today through our program, and we hope your heart will be filled with the joy and peace of God today.
And today is National Librarian Day. Now, we want to take a moment to highlight the librarians and their important job of getting books into our hands.
Mm-hmm, because reading is so beneficial, and what we read also matters and makes a difference. So today we encourage you to pick up the Bible and read some of the beautiful promises that are found in the Psalms. The promises are sure, and they are for you.
And let's begin our program now by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1889, Charlie Chaplin, the future Hollywood legend, was born as Charles Spencer Chaplin on April 16, 1889 in London, England. Introduced to the stage at the age of 5, Chaplin's journey into entertainment began when he stepped in to complete his mother's act during a show in which her voice faltered. Coming from a family of London music hall entertainers, this early experience set the stage for Chaplin's remarkable career in the spotlight.
You know, the story of Charlie Chaplin's humble beginnings serves as a powerful reminder that God can use ordinary circumstances to shape extraordinary destinies. You know, despite starting out in challenging circumstances, Chaplin's talent and determination propelled him to become one of the most iconic figures in Hollywood history. You know, and as we learn to follow Jesus, we can take heart in knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, regardless of our background or circumstances. And just as Chaplin's unexpected appearance on stage marked the beginning of his remarkable journey, well, God can use the seemingly insignificant moments in our lives to lead us to greater heights and fulfill His divine purpose for us. So friend, even when you're faced with challenges or setbacks, trust in God's guidance and provision, knowing that He can turn every adversity into an opportunity for growth and a lot of blessings.
Amen. It's now time for the incredible journey to take us on an adventure to the Dead Sea.
This is about as low as you can get. Now, I'm not talking about poor behavior, but about location. I'm standing on the shore of the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on the face of planet Earth. In fact, it's 423 meters below sea level. The Dead Sea is a unique and amazing place. It's surrounded by desert, which makes water here extremely valuable. But you can't drink this water. It's the saltiest water on Earth, 10 times more salty than the oceans and far too bitter to drink. But the Dead Sea does have one gift, and it's on nearly every dining room table in every country around the world. What is it? Well, it's salt. History tells us that in ancient times, salt was a very valuable commodity. In fact, it was known as white gold. The famous camel caravans that traveled through the Sahara Desert carried blocks of salt weighing up to 90 kilos. The demand for salt was so high that it was traded for gold. The canal city of Venice had a monopoly on the salt trade to Europe and became a very wealthy city. Salt was also used to trade slaves in ancient Greece, and it was used to pay the Roman soldiers, which is how we got the word salary today. Salt has been used in many religious ceremonies. It was a sign of purity in the Jewish, Buddhist, and Shinto religions. But for Christians, it's the words of Jesus that have an important meaning. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus is talking here about the value and influence of a good, reliable, and honest person, one who has a positive influence for good in their society. Jesus wants us to preserve an atmosphere of love, unity, and healthy personal relationships. He wants us to enrich the lives of the people we come in contact with. So be encouraged today. Remember that, like salt, you are precious, you are valuable, and you are the preservative that God is using in society today. So let's go and be the salt of the earth.
When it comes to raising children, we want to be the best parents we can be. We also want to raise children who are confident and happy. For that, resilience is needed. Well, The Parenting Place joins us now to share some practical tips on how we can focus on building resilience.
Here's a question. Do we want to set our kids up to fail, be miserable, and brokenhearted by how tough life really is? No, of course not. Well then, it's the difficult task of us, their parents, to prepare them for a world that isn't always soft and kind. As our children grow up, we need to try and prepare them for the world, the one that they need to survive in as adults. We need to step aside, but not away. Yes, we stay near them as coaches and comforters, stepping in to support them when it's needed, long before they hear no from potential employers or girls or guys they wanted to date. They would have heard no from us. No to the treat. No to devices at the dinner table. No to lazy behaviour. When things get tough, yes, we can empathise. Yes, encourage and help them to problem solve. But it's not our job to do the fixing. So this means if my daughter comes home upset about not getting into the school play, I need to resist the urge to complain to the school. Resilience is important. I need to hear her feelings, whether they're frustration or disappointment. I need to be there for her. But I'm not to take the feelings away and fix it all up. So there may be tears, and those are important. But when our kids are older and they hit life's ditches and gullies, we won't be there to rescue them, and they need to be able to rescue themselves. They need to be rolling up their sleeves and building bridges to get across to their dreams.
If you're finding today's program worthwhile, don't keep it to yourself. Share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
And check us out on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. Well, after the break, the Let's Pray team joins us as they lead us in prayer. And later, Elizabeth Talbot will share today's devotional thought with us. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. We are blessed today on Wake Up with Hope, and we want to fill your day with hope and peace.
Friends, have you ever stopped to consider the wonderful gift of life? It's something we should constantly be thankful for, and this morning the Let's Pray team is here to lead us out in a special prayer session dedicated to thanking God for this wonderful gift. Shall we pray?
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Season, and I am grateful that we have a chance to pray together today. The topic for today is thanking God for the gift of life. This is a big deal because personally, I feel like everything about Jesus is about life. It says in the Bible that, I think it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. Don't quote me on that, family, but it's in Corinthians. It talks about the fact that if there's no resurrection, if there's no life, then all of the rest of it is pointless. And I think that that life starts way early on when he is knitting us together. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 139, 13 through 14 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And while this verse can resonate so deeply with many in our community, if there has been maybe some traumatic childhood experiences, maybe there are some things that happened in your life where you're not so sure about that. You're not able to maybe connect to that. So I want to pray today, not just for those that are grateful and thankful, but for those who struggle to connect to this concept of the gratitude for the life that we've been given. Family, it's all right to admit that you're struggling through this. And I want to pray for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of life. There was a time in my life when I was not that grateful. But first, Father, for everyone within the sound of my voice whose heart rejoices at the thought of the gift of life that you have given us, that intimacy of being knit together by you, Lord, and for all of the beauty that that implies, Heavenly Father, thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to be able to connect to the concept of this gift that we've been given, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm in a place where I no longer reject that life. Heavenly Father, for everyone in this community where it's not necessarily a joyous thing right now, Lord, I pray for your ministry, your reconciliation to the gift of life, Heavenly Father, for all of those within the sound of my voice, whether presently or in past, Father, have in their heart, they've turned from that gift of life, Heavenly Father. Jesus, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, forgive us for rejecting the gift that you've given. And Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would refresh us with your forgiveness, Lord, and that you would bring new life in that area and help us as a community, Jesus, to receive the revelation that you have of being the life giver, the truth of who you are, Father, that all of it is about life. Lord, you came not just to die, but so that we might live. Jesus, you could not stand the thought of eternity without your kids. So you went through everything you did, Jesus, so that we might live and be reconnected with you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for ministering to the deep hurts that cause us to turn away as children or adults from this life. Sometimes, Lord, we pull away in wounding, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would begin to open our arms and our hands again, that we would begin to let down some of those walls, those of us who have been hurt and might be hurting today, Jesus. Lord, we want to say thank you, maybe for the first time in a long time, for life. Thank you for our life, Jesus. Lord, we know that there is deep struggle in this community for many. And I praise you, Lord, that you're not done with us yet. Father, thank you for everyone who's able to lend their joy and lend their faith for the goodness and the hope that your gift of life brings, Jesus. And for everybody who's not able at this point, or maybe just is for the first time today, able to connect to that once again after a long time, Father, thank you, Jesus, that they're lending that strength to us, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for being everything that I'm not, and for taking these words and making them what my hope is that they're saying for this community. Thank you for your life, and thank you for a chance to start again today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you, family.
Thank you. We have to take a short break now, but Jesus 101 will be with us when we return to share a devotional thought with us today.
Also, don't forget to visit us at our official Hope Channel Facebook page and let us know how you're enjoying our prayer sessions. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We're so thankful you're here today.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Jesus 101 Ministry.
Hello, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Talbot, director of the Jesus 101 Biblical Institute. Today, I want to start by showing you a photo of my parents. These are my parents, and I love them very much. My father was the first one to be diagnosed with cancer, and I remember it was stomach cancer. He was quite young, and I remember being in the waiting room, and there's something about suffering that everybody's on even ground, you know? And we were waiting for the doctor to come back from the operation to see if it was successful or not. And I remember the doctor arriving and saying, "Good news, the cancer is out." And I don't remember anything else. I just wanted to go to every person in that waiting room to say, "The cancer's out, the cancer's out." But then the years went by, and each one of my parents got three different types of cancer each. And I would like to tell you that they were both healed. You know, Band-Aids are the universal symbol for healing. And I wish I could tell you my mom was healed from her cancer. I wish I could tell you my dad was healed from all his cancers. But they both died from cancer. I lost them a few years ago. Great loss. And then the question is, should we ask for healing? Does God want us to be healed? Is healing the same thing as being whole and restored? Well, we have a little story today from the Gospel of Luke that will give us some answers. So please come with me to Luke chapter 17. We find there in verse 11, Luke 17, verse 11, it says, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. It's interesting because the Samaritans and the Jews didn't always get along. As a matter of fact, they weren't getting along at the time of Jesus. And he entered a village. As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. It's really interesting because leprosy was, there were different skin diseases that disfigured people that were called leprosy at the time. And it was a dreaded disease and infectious in the sense that they had to leave their family, their village, their houses, and live in isolation. 10 men, and we don't know if they were Jews or Samaritans because Jesus is passing by in the middle, they stood at a distance, which was the law if you had leprosy. And they raised their voices. It was the only way to be heard, right? Speak loud if you're at a distance, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The Greek language says just four words. Jesus, Master, mercy us. You know, when we're suffering, sometimes our prayers are just one word or two or three or four in this case. But what catches my attention is that they call him Jesus. You know, most people didn't call Jesus Jesus. They call him Master, Teacher, Rabbi. But very few people call him Jesus by his first name, like the thief on the cross in Luke 23. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. They call him Jesus. Jesus, Master, mercy, us. And what is awesome about this name that they're calling him is that Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves, right? And so it is a request for something. When they say mercy, I don't know what they had in mind, if a healing, a miracle, or some food. But Jesus saw them and did something for them. When he saw them, verse 14, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Interesting, because a priest, this was the procedure they were supposed to follow if they thought they were healed. But they're not healed. He doesn't say, you're healed or I'm healing you. He says, go to the priest. And the priests were something like a health inspector. You can read about it in Leviticus 13 and 14. He would declare them clean if they were without the disease. But the verse 14 says, as they were going, they were cleansed. So they had to act in faith because really they couldn't see that they were healed, but as they were going, they were healed. So this is the first interaction of Jesus with 10 leprous men, and they're all going to the priest. And now we have a second interaction, but just with one man. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back. He didn't get all the way to the priest. He turned back, glorifying God, because he realized that God was the source of this miracle. He's glorifying God, and he says, with a loud voice. I love this part. Loud is mega in Greek, right? And voice is phone, phonos. Well, that's where we get the word megaphone. With a loud voice, he's glorifying God for this miracle. He comes back, and he says, he fell on his face, verse 16, at his feet, giving thanks to him, and we are told he was a Samaritan. Of all of them that could have come to thank the Jewish teacher, this is the foreigner, the Samaritan, which we were not expecting to come and thank Jesus, right? And then Jesus said, there were 10 who were cleansed. Where are the rest? And then he speaks to the Samaritan and says, on verse 19, he said to him, stand up and go, your faith, and uses a different verb, not the one that says that he was healed, not the one that says he was cleansed. It's a different verb. It says, stand up and go, your faith has saved you or has made you well is a Greek verb for saved. Has saved you. You have been restored. You're whole. It was a greater type of healing than simply no more leprosy or just being cleansed from leprosy. And I think it's very important to understand this because there's a deeper type of healing. There's a restoration that God offers us. Yes, this man received healing, but he also received full restoration, wholeness, salvation. The Bible tells us in James 5 that we should ask for physical healing, but then we give it to God because he's sovereign over it. He decides if he will heal us of our physical ailments or not. But emotional and spiritual healing, we already know what God's will is. His will is to save us. His will is to restore us. His will is to make us whole. We don't have to ask if it's his will on that because the Bible is very clear on it. When Jesus died for our sins, he bought our healing, that deep type of restoration, wholeness. You know, I'm going to put two band-aids here to remind you of a beautiful verse in Isaiah 53:5. So I'm going to put it in the as a cross. Isaiah 53:5 says that by his stripes we are healed because he paid the penalty on the cross for our sins, so that even if we have to, in his sovereign will, we have to live with some kind of sickness in this sinful world, we know that it's his will that we may be whole and restored and made well and saved. That we know is his will. Because by his stripes, we are healed. That deep restoration. You know, my parents both died of cancer, but they were healed much deeper than that. They were whole. They were saved. And I remember them, both of them, dying with no fear because they knew that Christ at the cross had made them right with God. And I'm waiting to see them on resurrection morning. And I know I will, because they were made whole. They were restored. They were saved. So you too, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you receive that deeper type of healing, that restoration. You don't need to live with shame or guilt, because you are restored. You are healed deeply because you are saved through the cross of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even watch or rewatch some of today's program, well, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And tomorrow morning, we'll be right here, so don't forget to join us. We're going to have wonderful music, composition by Mark Prentice, and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. Plus, we'll have a delightful vegetarian gumbo recipe and another episode of Masterstroke. We hope you join us then.
And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website. We're sure you'll be blessed.
Our program is over for today, but before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. It says,
also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? That's from Psalm 71, verse 19.
And that's a good question. And the answer is no one. Mm-hmm. No one is like him. He is faithful. He is righteous. He does great and marvelous things. He is love. No one compares, friends. There is no one like God, and he will never led you down.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we've had a wonderful time on today's program, and we pray you have truly felt God's love and care for you.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we are at peace, knowing that our lives are secure in your hands. We have nothing to fear. You are a God who is compassionate and loving. Lord, where else can we go but you? And today, Lord, as we rest in you, we pray that the hope that we have in our hearts will carry us through this day. In Jesus' name, amen.